Matthew chapter 2, very familiar passage as we come to this Christmas season. We think about the wise men, and the title of this lesson is Traveling Without the Star. Traveling Without the Star. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of the 10 verses there, but we will just read the first few. It says here, in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we look to your word tonight, would you encourage hearts? And Lord, may you draw us near to yourself, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see here a very familiar story of the wise men following the star that they saw from the east. These were Oriental men, and they were going to make a great, great journey. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is to see how, what it means to sometimes travel in the dark. And we're going to look, see that it is factual that these men did spend some time traveling in the dark without a whole lot of light. But nevertheless, God is going to lead them, just like he's going to lead us. And tonight, we're all in a season of following the will of God. And let's all admit here tonight that sometimes God will call us to do things, and then he will make it clear. Then all of a sudden, it's like, Lord, where'd you go? You know? And that, we're going to see some of that take place in their lives. But the choice to follow Christ through dark days isn't easy. And there are many days we will wonder about God's plan. And in this lesson tonight, we will learn how the wise men in the Christmas story, how they too follow the Lord. And we can continue to follow God's leading, even when we don't see a guiding star. In time, as we will see, the star will reappear. And we will be thankful we were still on our journey and in the place to see it. So as we come here in our introduction, sometimes we think of these wise men dedicated to finding and worshiping this newborn king of the Jews. But while we often focus on the faith of some of the other characters of the Christmas story, such as the shepherds, such as Joseph and Mary, which there's nothing wrong with that, we do look at the aspects of their lives. But sometimes we do not look at the incredible faith that these wise men exhibited, and they're following the leadership of the Lord. And we'll see the wise men demonstrate one of the greatest examples of trust, for these men trusted even when God was silent. Now, Bible scholars believe that these wise men were identified as the Magi, and we've heard that term before. O. Henry's famous Christmas story, The Gift of the Magi. It's likely that they were descendants of the Medes and the Medo-Persian Empire. Historians would, a lot of them, most of them would agree upon that fact. They were men of learning and understanding, especially in astronomy. They studied the stars. They studied science. They studied the heavenly bodies. And because of their knowledge, they became counselors to the Persian king. And historians believe that there was a widespread expectation of a special ruler that would come to the world and would be that one ruler who rules with authority and peace and would make a great impact on all the world. There was an agreement between them. And one day, upon this time, a great star appeared as they were in the east. And they would see this star that would draw them westward, that would draw them eventually to the city of Jerusalem, where the little babe in a manger, the King of the Jews, would be found. And we know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we remember about this account is that these men traveled 1,500 miles. Now, they say an average travel time on horseback and even men walking and different ones could be anywhere from 20 to 30 miles a day. So you do the math, you're probably talking a total trip of about 75 days, traveling across very difficult terrain to follow this star that they saw and that they believe it was a sign of the King of the Jews. And we'll talk about what led them to that conclusion here in just a moment. But what would motivate these men to make such an arduous trek? I mean, why would they be so interested in a city thousands of miles from where they lived? That's a good question. And we don't know for sure. This isn't confirmed in Scripture. But I do wonder if their journey was provoked by one of their predecessors, a man by the name of Daniel, a great prophet. One who was greatly used of God during a time, even with the Babylonian Empire and the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel, who was well-schooled in prophecy and in times, perhaps left some of his teaching that God allowed them to get a hold of and to remain in their body of knowledge and of their understanding. But because of their familiarity with astronomy, these men knew that this star that had appeared was a big deal. That can be crystal clear from Scripture. It was a big deal and they had to follow it. They were compelled to follow this star. And so they went after it. And you think about Daniel as we mentioned him. They knew from what they have heard through past through the ages is that this man, Daniel, he was one who worshiped the one true God, the God of Israel. And I do believe the Magi is in general through the ages. It must be clear from our conclusion of them knowing about the King of the Jews that they must have been greatly impacted by Judaism, greatly impacted. And you just never know how God is going to use a testimony. Amen? You just never know. Number one, I want us to look at about this story, the misconceptions about the wise men. There are many misconceptions. That's point number one. There are many that are around this story. And number one, I want us to see the number of wise men. We don't know. The Bible is unclear of how many. It's very unlikely that there were only three. I know that looks great in the pictures and in the plays and whatnot, but it very unlikely was it just three men on three camels with three gifts, okay? It was very likely a lot more than that, okay? Because if you've traveled out in the desert, and I know those Tuaregs and whatnot, they travel in great numbers. And for protection, there's bandits in the desert and whatnot. And how wealthy these men were, it is very likely that there was a large group that they brought. But we don't know exactly how many there were. But letter B, we see the timing of their arrival. There's some misconceptions about the timing of their arrival. We often picture the wise men worshiping at the baby in the manger. But that's really not what the Scriptures seem to direct us towards. Again, it is traditional in that way. But many Bible scholars believe that the wise men actually met Jesus when he was a little older. And we'll see why. For one thing, the Bible says that they came to a house. You notice in the Scriptures there, we didn't come all the way down to it, but they came to a house. They didn't come to a manger or a stable. Jesus was born in a stable. And for another, it seems that Jesus was a little older by the time they came because the Bible calls him a young child. And I don't have time to get all into that, but the word babe is used in Luke 2:12 when it referred to Jesus, and that word babe is the Greek word brephos, which means newly born. But this word is used many times in the context of a young child. It's paedion, where we would get our English word pediatric. It's dealing with a young child, so it's very likely that it was Jesus was a little older, and it wasn't there at the stable scene. But notice it, another indication is that when Herod realized the wise men would not betray where Christ had been born, what did they do? What did he do? He had all the male children 2 years and under murdered. Well, why would he do that? Because the time frame from Jesus' birth to the wise men's arrival could have been up to 2 years. So there's a misconception about the timing. And you notice that there at the end of verse 16 in your handout, from 2 years old and under, we see that he targeted that. But then thirdly, we see the leading of the star. This is probably one of the greatest misconceptions of this story, because we usually have the wise man following this star the whole time. But that doesn't seem to be what the Word of God says. Now, I know some of the songs that we have, and I'm not criticizing any of our Christmas carols in this sense, but it's one of the misconceptions comes from the Christmas carol, We Three Kings, following yonder star, almost like it's a continual thing. But that is not what we see here. And in fact, most of their journey was spent without a star. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because notice in Matthew 2:2 is there in your handout, our first evidence is that when the wise men asked Herod about the birthplace of Jesus, they said, "Where is he?" Therefore, there is a point that the star had stopped shining, and they knew that it was in that direction, and that's where they went, and we'll see more about that. But initially, they saw the star in the east where they were from, but it disappeared at some point in the journey. And apparently they were still in the east, but now they knew they were close to finding the king. And because of that, they went to Jerusalem, which was the capital city. And when they got there, that's when they asked for more directions. You know, I have found that in just following the will of the Lord, that's the way God works. God will lead us to a certain point, and he will get it. Once he gets us to that point, that's where we go, and we wait until the Lord shows us the next step. And that's what we see here. So a few verses later, we see a second proof. It's there in Matthew 2, verses 9 through 10, there in your handout. It says that when they saw this star, they rejoiced when they arrived in Bethlehem. So it's obvious they were happy to once again catch sight of this star. We don't know how long they had been without, but we know that they were without. And how many miles they went, we don't know. But there's one thing for sure that we can make application to our own lives. The path of the wise men is one we sometimes find ourselves as well. We sense God's direction in our lives going to a certain point, but then we seem to find some darkness. The star figuratively seems to stop shining. And we no longer can pinpoint the exact place, but we're going to see here that these men kept on traveling. And that brings me to point number two, the men who traveled without a star. Men who traveled without a star. You see, they stayed faithful. The experience of the wise men is not foreign to God's people. There, just like we've experienced, we can look through the Old Testament, and I'm just going to mention a few here quickly. Who are some Bible characters in the Word of God, men and women, and specifically we'll see three men who experienced this. Number one, we see Joseph. Joseph, many times traveled without a star, and that's letter A. Letter A is Joseph. Remember Joseph? He had a dream when he was young, didn't he? Remember that? Remember, he had a dream, and basically the dream was interpreted as he would one day be in leadership. In fact, and one day he would be in authority. In fact, one day he would be over his older brothers. In fact, it goes even further than that. One day the dream would tell him that he would be over his own father. And so you can imagine the light that God gave there, the revelation that God gave there, made an impact on him. But then all of a sudden, where does Joseph find himself? In the pit. And then in the prison. And it's like, can you imagine what would be going through his mind? And we know that God's hand was on him, but he stayed faithful in those dark times. Because think about it. After that, for those years that he would go into the pit, and until he would have dreams, of course, about the baker and whatnot. But until then, he didn't really have any light from the Lord. But he stayed faithful. Joseph had a clear direction at the outset, and he stayed faithful. And then when his brothers turned on him and he had to go through that, and approximately 13 years would go by until God would finally fulfill that dream that he had given Joseph. 13 years where he would be there put in charge, and his brothers would see it and his dad would see it. And may we be reminded of that. And you note in your handout Genesis 50:20. Where it says that well-known verse is that when he says, "But as for you," speaking to his brothers, "ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." But you know, Joseph traveled many miles without a star. I think of Abraham, letter B, Abraham. Consider him. Before he left Ur, God had promised him that he would be the father of a great nation. Said that he would bless him with multitudes and like the stars of the sky and like the sand of the sea. And you think about it. It wasn't until he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 until he got the promised seed of Isaac. Many years in the dark, was it not? And you know, he didn't pass with flying colors, although God was merciful and blessed him with Isaac. But before that, that was Ishmael. And that was a time that they were in the dark. And you know what they, in that time, there was temptation for Sarah and to take matters in their own hands. And that we got to be careful about that, don't we, brethren? When we're in the dark, we just can sometimes, in our frailty, get just a spirit of frustration and just get our hands on it. We got to be careful about that. We got to make sure it's God's timing. But then letter C, Noah. Think about Noah. It is said that out of perhaps 1 billion people in the world during this time, God considered him and his family to be the only righteous people on earth. 1 billion people is what they would estimate. And then the Lord would look upon this family, and as judgment would come upon this extreme wickedness. We think our world is wicked, and it is, many parts of it, many aspects of it. But imagine how wicked this would have been for God to wipe out humanity, for the exception of one family. It must have been pretty bad. But Noah responded to the initial revelation of God to build an ark. And can you imagine this building project? This was not a 3 to 5 year building project. This was how many years? 120. This was a 120 year building project. If we ever get to build around here, I surely hope it doesn't take that long. But we see that this was a time of darkness, really. He didn't have a whole lot of light. And, you know, you have to use your sanctified imagination here with the mockery that probably was taking place. People that were laughing at this guy and people that were poking fun and, in this time of darkness. But I'm thankful that he stayed faithful. And I believe we can learn from that. You may be doing something in your life and you're living for God, and perhaps you've been in a ministry and you're not seeing the fruit you're wanting to, and you're feeling like frustrated because it's not going exactly like you thought it would. And when God showed you in the beginning and you're in a season of frustration, can I just encourage you tonight? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. You may not have the star you're looking for, the light you're looking for, but just stay faithful. And sometimes you'll spend years traveling without a star. We all can relate to that. But thirdly and lastly, we see tonight, what do you do when the star disappears? What do you do, that's the third blank, when the star disappears? Sometimes we ask why we're going through a trial, don't we? But the answer we receive is silence and seasons that God decides not to say anything and to give further light. In times where the star isn't visible, how do we press on in the journey? Well, I've mentioned it. One time already, letter A, we remain faithful. Remain is that blank there, letter A. You know how sometimes when you're traveling in the fog, brethren, and you can hardly see in front of you, but the two things that you can see most of the time are those lines. All right? If they have lines, that's right, Miss Beverly. A lot of roads around here in Jackson County don't. And, but if they have lines, you use that. And there are times where you use whatever you can, but you can just see where to go the next step. And many times that's the way life is in the walking with God. God's giving you some light, but boy, things have gotten dark. Things have gotten foggy. I don't know what to do next. I remember being in the Coast Guard, you know, and just studying about navigation and spending time out at the sea. There, you know, back in ancient times, they didn't have GPSs, and so what did they do? They used the stars to navigate. They used astronomy and whatnot, and they used these different things. Would they study the stars? And one of the things that we got to remember, that it was not always a clear, beautiful night out at sea. And what would they do then? Well, what was commonly used was what was considered a magnetic compass. And they would put a magnetic stick in a bowl with water, and it would give them the direction based on gravity and the courses they had taken. And that was what they would depend upon when they couldn't look up at the stars, when they couldn't study the constellations and whatnot. They couldn't do that. And sometimes it would be so cloudy that they couldn't see exactly where the sun would come up. Most of the times at noon, even on an outcast, they possibly could. And a lot of times they did that. At noon, they would. But the application is the fact that sometimes God has not given a lot of light. But what we have to do in those times, we have to stick to what is true. And that's letter B. We got to stick with God's word. And letter B is follow God's word. Follow God's word. Letter B. Remain faithful, but stick to the word of God. The answer to answer these wise men, to answer the wise men's query here, King Herod asked the chief priests and scribes where Jesus was to be born. Where's he going to be born? And so what did Herod do? What did Herod do? Did he go to himself? Did he go to somebody? Who did he go to specifically? God's word. He sure did. Notice there in your text, there on your handout, Matthew 2 through 4, he got the answer. These chief priests and the scribes, they told him from the word of God in verse 5, Bethlehem of Judea. For that's what was written by the prophet. And so do you see what this verse means? The wise men didn't go to Bethlehem because the star suddenly appeared for them while they were in Jerusalem. They went because they had been directed by what was written by the prophet in the scriptures. They were following the revelation of the Word of God. And even Herod himself would reference the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And may that be a reminder to us, brethren, that we got to be super careful about depending upon feelings. You know, there are times out there where we get caught up in our emotions and we want to make decisions based upon feelings. But I want to tell you what, one thing you cannot go wrong with is just sticking to the book, the Word of God. The revelation that He has given us, and God will speak to us through this word. And we have to be guided by every step. I got a verse up on my wall in my office that reminds me often, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. That's my feelings, my own understanding, that's my emotions. But all thy ways acknowledge Him. And we find Him in the Word of God, don't we? And He shall direct thy paths. I look at that often because in a ministry where I am responsible for helping counsel and encourage and advise God's people. And in a ministry like this, I cannot let my emotions and my feelings govern me. I got to let the Word of God. And the same is with you as your parents and as you're in life. Let the Word of God dwell you. It scares me to death when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, God has told me to do this. And I get to talking to them and I say, are you reading your Bible? No, I'm not reading my Bible. Excuse me. You got to be in the Word. And I'm saying, does God have to have the Bible right in front of you to speak to you? No, I'm not suggesting that. But for somebody to say, I don't even read my Bible, but God is speaking to me, I'm sorry. But that is not accurate. That does not line up. God's going to speak to somebody who is reading His Word and allowing the Word of God to control them and lead them. So we see that this is very important. We know that sometimes we don't know general, some specific revelation, but another thing is we have to understand that God does give, general revelation. We know that we need to be worshiping Him every day. We need to be reading the Bible every day. We need to be praying every day. We need to be witnessing every day. We need to be being kind to our spouse and to our children, and to our parents, every day. We know that to be the will of God. And we know God will let that light shine continuously as we follow Him. Verse to memorize, I'm not going to read it, but verse to memorize, you can mark it. It's in your handout. It's 2 Peter 1:19. If you have not memorized that before, I encourage you to do that. That verse is basically saying there is nothing more important than the Word of God. Even the prophets that heard the voice of God, even Peter, who heard the voice of God and saw Jesus, said that he has a more sure word of prophecy, and that's this book, the Word of God. So then thirdly, in closing here, we're wrapping this thing up, is trust God's plan. We need to trust God's plan. That's letter C. You may not understand what God's doing in your life tonight, brethren. It may be confusing to you. And why is this happening this way? Why is it dark? Why'd you give me some light, Lord? But now I'm out here. Can I tell you? Trust the Lord. Trust His plan right now for your life. Don't get frustrated. Don't give up on God. God's working. Once there was a little boy named Danny Waiello. Has anybody ever heard of him? He was in a car accident and he lost his left arm. To bolster his confidence, his parents put him in judo classes. His teacher, a wise old man, did something strange and only taught Danny one throw, one move. That's all he taught him. Danny constantly worked at perfecting it until the sensei put him in a tournament. And it was an uphill battle, but he finally made it to finals. This young man without a left arm. And when Danny Waiello faced his opponent, an older, bigger man, the referees, even in that match, hesitated. They weren't sure if they should let this match go forward, but the sensei, the instructor to Danny, insisted that Danny still compete. For several tense moments, Danny was losing until he saw the chance to execute the move he had worked on constantly. It worked perfectly, and Danny won the tournament. But get this. Afterward, Danny asked the sensei. He went up to him and said, and imagine this question after you just won a match. He says, "Why did I win?" He said, "I only know one throw, one move, and I only have one arm. Why did I win?" And listen to the teacher's response. He replied, "There are two reasons," he said. He said, "I knew you had mastered one of the most difficult throws in judo. But I also knew the only defense known against that throw is to grab your opponent by his left arm." Sometimes, church, God takes something away from us that we want so the devil can't grab us. And what a vivid illustration for us to trust God with what He's doing in our lives. Whether He's taking something away or adding something, may we just trust Him in the dark and know that our God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that we can trust You even when we don't have the star shining brightly. Thank You for the times that it is shining brightly, as the wise men were excited and joyful when they saw it again. Lord, we do thank You for that. But Lord, tonight we're asking, would You help us to stay faithful in the dark times? I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight that might be in one of those seasons. I don't know. But Lord, help them to know that You are faithful. You can be trusted. And Lord, You are doing it for our advantage and Your glory. And God, we're thanking You for what You'll do now as we commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.